Well, firstly, it's lovely to be here. I was thinking about the last time I was here, except for a men's Bible study, which is quite often, and I think it might even be before COVID, when I was actually helping lead worship. So it's lovely to be here. The theme joy, whenever I'm going talking about it, I always ask God what he wants me to speak about. And I can guarantee he always gives me something, and I think, really? Is that what you want? But, of course, he always knows what he's doing. So I've been to one event this year that I didn't expect to go to. Anybody who likes sport, anybody who likes ladies' sport, may have noticed that the women have done quite well this summer. And actually, the Lionesses did really well. Much to my amazement, my wife, who is not very sporty, said to me on her birthday, could we go to London to the Lionesses parade? I had to think about it for a millisecond. Of course we can, dear, I said. And it was absolutely fabulous to be a few of us of 65,000 people. It was amazing. And the joy there was incredible. You know, some people moaned they couldn't hear the sound, but apart from that, the joy was fantastic to see the joy in the girls' faces and everybody around them. Now, I've even, I have to confess, I've got into women's rugby now. I never played rugby, but if anybody saw the game yesterday, it was astonishing, and I'm sure think they were pretty joyful. But the best bit for me was the very end of the game, when the Samoans, who had actually lost quite heavily, they were so delighted to be there, to have actually scored 3 points. They all started dancing at the end of the game, and the English girls joined them, and I thought it was fantastic, the sense of a burst of joy. Now, I'm not expecting their view to get them dance or anything like that today. But I want to ask you a question, and I don't want the details. How did you get up this morning? Did you feel joyful? And if you did, was it the flowers in your garden? Now, a lot of gardeners are very upset because the weather hasn't been very good, not very conducive. I'm very blessed that my wife allowed me to buy some more flowers, so my garden doesn't look too bad, or our garden doesn't look too bad. Or perhaps you were joyful what food you had for breakfast today. Now, in our house, the weekend is very special. We have croissants at the weekend. Only at the weekend, and we're only allowed marmalade and jam at the weekend, so it's a big thing. It was a small one today, but that's fine. Or perhaps you started the day and you looked across and looked at your loved one and thought, I'm really pleased that I'm with you. Perhaps you didn't, but perhaps that was your joy. Or perhaps you had family staying with you and that was your joy. You hadn't seen them for a long time. Or it could simply be the fact you're alive, that God has given you another day. God's graced you with another, and that you could come to church today. Or, if it wasn't those things, perhaps you had a joyous occasion you remembered. Perhaps you've recently been to a wedding, or going to a wedding soon. Or perhaps you had a special birthday. We've got one coming up next year, but I'm not telling you what it is. But perhaps you had a special birthday. Or, perhaps you've recently had a child born, or grandchild born in the family. Now, I can remember our daughter is now 45. And I can remember, even now, the day she was born. Partly because my mother-in-law drove me to the hospital, but that's another story. But because I got there, we had this phone call, oh, it'd be ages till she's born, and then another phone call from the hospital, she's coming very quickly, you need to get here. So my mother-in-law got me there, nice and quickly. And as I got the gown on, I got into the delivery room, and I said to her, I looked at my wife, and she said, I'm just too tired, I can't do any more. I said, dear, you've got to, it's very near. And then this bloodied thing flew out of her, and she was covered, our daughter, in blood, but she was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen, and she still is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And it was just so, the immediate love I felt, so that's something that will always stick with me. The other thing that always stick with me, I know Joan and Martin have been on holiday, I guess quite a lot of you have been on holiday. I don't know how special that holiday was. But going back to 30 odd years ago, my brother has been in Asia, some of you will know, for more than half his life. And so I don't get to see him very often. But 30 years ago he was in Hong Kong, just before the Chinese came in. And I think it was probably 10 years since I'd seen him then. And we went out to see him, which was quite amazing. It's still a holiday that sticks in my head, because it was so different from anything else I'd ever done. It isn't the fact that the very first place we ate at, we used chopsticks. Well, everybody else used chopsticks, including my friend's, my daughter's best friend, who had a broken arm. She used chopsticks, but I couldn't use chopsticks. I was a bit embarrassed, but that was life. But China, but Hong Kong itself was fascinating. And I remember, if not, it's common now, but I remember sitting in this huge shopping centre and just watching the different nationalities going up and down the escalators and being totally fascinated. And we went out on a thing called a junk, which was quite exciting. And we did lots of things that I'd never done before. And so it's one of those holidays, if you said to me, which holiday stood in your mind, that still sticks in my mind all these years later. I have been on other holidays, and it's allowed me to go on other holidays. We have been away elsewhere, but that's one that sticks in my mind. Or perhaps, recently, God's done an amazing thing in your life, and that's the thing that, you know, you're really joyful about. Or perhaps, ignoring all that, perhaps, or were you the typical British person who had that British spirit of moaning? Did you get up the morning and say, these cereals are too much, I can't eat all this? Well, my wife does say to me when I prepare the cereals. So this is the way it works in our house. I don't prepare her cereals because I always get it wrong. Or was your toast too cold? Or was it too black? In my case, I couldn't care less how black it is, as long as it's hot. Or did you walk out your garden and it was full of weeds? I've discovered this morning that a weed has grown in between my lovely plants. I don't know where it came from. It's grown overnight. So my first thing when I get back will be to grab a hold of that and pull it out. Or did you say, not today, I don't think, but has the weather been too hot? Or was it too wet the other day when we finally had rain? It's never quite right, is it? My lovely wife, she looks at the weather every night and she tells me what it's going to be. And every day it changes. Overnight it just changes. I said to her years ago when she was teaching, why are you worried about what you're wearing? You have no idea what tomorrow's going to be like. But the weather says, every time she got up, it had changed. So but then she would say to you, but you're never prepared for anything. Today, what am I going to wear? I thought. She knew exactly what she was wearing. But that's a man thing, I think. Men, please tell me it is. It's a man thing. Or perhaps worse still, you got up today and you thought, because you really were feeling low, you thought, no one actually cares about me. No one cares what actually happens to me. And that is a good reason to moan and be unhappy. I mean, how would you describe yourself? I'm sure you've heard this phrase. Would you say you're a cup half empty person? Or would you say you're a cup half full person? Apparently, I'm a cup half full person. And I'm very aggravated when things go wrong. Because I keep saying, but that went right, this went right, and that was okay. Yes, they say. And one of our friends on one occasion, we were away on holiday. I don't know what was happening, but I'd been very positive. And she flew into our bedroom, and she said, will you please just be negative about something for a change? So I don't know what it was. I mean, I can be negative, don't get me wrong. But I do tend to look at the positive side of things, and I understand that's frustrating. Now, I'd like to introduce you to a little fellow. There he is, right. Now, this isn't the actual fella. I met this guy, and his name's Ermentrude. I met him 50 years ago. I was just walking in the Derbyshire Dales, as one does when one's at university, and I'd suddenly heard this guy speaking. It's interesting. And all these people were around him, not just youngsters, but all sorts of people, and he was telling this story about this apple called Ermentrude, who was very, very happy. Now, Ermentrude was in an orchard. Well, that's surprising, isn't it? But no, this was a special orchard, because it was the king's orchard. Now, the reason he was so happy was he thought he was the most beautiful apple in the world. And he kept telling everybody, I'm beautiful, he kept going on about. Now, I don't think that's the sort of joy we're talking about, not that sort of boastful joy. But here was Ermentrude, he was convinced that he was going to end up on the king's table. We'll hear a little bit more about him later on, and find out where he actually ended up. Okay. Now, the church that my daughter goes to, or our daughter goes to, is called Soul Church, and it's in Norwich. And every year they have a word. They take a word every year. Some years they have T-shirts with the word on, or they have mugs with the word on. This year I don't know if they did or not. But this year they chose joy. Now, this little, what would you call it? Logo? Is it Choose Joy? And we've got it stuck with blue tack. Somewhere in our house, but they gave these out at the service because we actually happened to be there at this particular service, you know, which was amazing. And the idea is for people to actually remember that, and so we have that there, so every day we don't feel very joyful, we just look at that. Now, some of you may be sitting here thinking, Vince, you really have got a screw loose, because I've got nothing to be joyful about. No, not for that reason, Mark. Right, no, I've got nothing to be joyful about. My life is pretty hard now. everything that I look at is going wrong. You know, what I'm going through at the moment, you cannot understand that what I'm going through is really tough. And I'm sure that is true. And you wouldn't like to be in my experience. You wouldn't like to have, well, you know, what's going through in my life. And I completely understand that. And the only thing, you'd be right. Because each of us sitting here now, our lives and our experiences are unique. And what we're all going through, or will be going through, is totally different. Because we're all made differently. We're all got situations which one of us is different. In fact, I left my phone there, but I'm just going to get my phone for a minute, because I'm just remembered something. Right. It's good you won't walk too far. Last night, I was just finishing a book, before I went to sleep, and it's a very interesting book, because we found it by mistake. Andy and I use the Kindle a lot, and this is meant to be for young people, so it's fine for us. And it's a story about a girl, but it's a girl who comes from a foster background, and she becomes a Christian. But it's not like the normal, it's very realistic. It's a bit aggravating at times, because she does go on a bit. But at the very end of the book, this phrase was there. She said when she'd accepted that what God had given her, she would be grateful for it. She said, God custom made each one of us. So whatever you're going through, whatever you feel, that's how God made you. And therefore, you can be joyful, because God knows what he's doing. That's the important thing. And when Andy read about Daniel in Daniel 6 and the fact of what happened to him. Now, I don't know about you, but whatever your adversity is, I don't think any of us have been in a situation facing death by a lion. No? Good. And I don't think any of us ever will. Hopefully, we never will. But the thing that we can face is Daniel. Daniel was a man of faith. Daniel got himself in the lion's den because he refused to do what man was asking him to do, basically worship man. And King Darius didn't want that. He was put in that situation with pressure from those who were meant to be his advisors and were basically trying to get Daniel out because they didn't like Daniel. They didn't like Daniel's position. But Daniel refused to sit down. He made it very public. He kept praying to God, he kept doing his worship and his study as he should have done. And the end result was that he ended up in the lion's den. Now at that point, I don't know about you, but I don't know how joyful I'd be. But Daniel didn't worry, because Daniel trusted God. He trusted that God knew what he was doing, and therefore he was joyful in that. And interestingly enough, King Darius was very joyful, because he didn't want Daniel to be there. It was a very sleepless night. And when he woke up the next day and he could see that Daniel was alive, he was delighted. And the impact that actually had and the way God used that. So what I'm saying, whatever your situation is, or situations you know, God is using that. It might not feel like it, but he actually really is using it. Now, sometimes when our daughter was a teenager, I think she thought we'd gone a bit daft. Because that's what teenagers do, don't they? They think that their parents haven't got any intelligence anymore. And suddenly, when she became 20-odd, we were very intelligent again. I don't know how that happens, but it just happens. So what I'm saying to you is, with God, if you think at the moment, you may not think he's daft, but you think he's got it wrong, just believe me, he really hasn't got it wrong. Now, when we were coming back, can you see? Yes, you can. When we were coming back home on Thursday, we've been to see Philip and Lynette Wright, who some of you will know, may have been pastored by. They now live in Clevedon. It's quite a long drive, 5.5 hours if you get caught in the M25 as we did. But we had a fabulous time, pretty short time. But coming back, this rainbow, which you can just see, which my lovely wife took a picture of, it followed us down the M4. Pardon? It followed us. We followed this rainbow down, she told me I'll get it wrong, down the M4, down the M25. It was there all the time, let's put it that way. That was what it was for. Okay, now, so to me, I think that was a real promise to God. That God is always with us. And my brother actually has gone through a really bad 18 months. And I spoke to him that day for the first time in quite a while. And I was able to send him this and say to him, look, there is a promise. God's going to look after you in the end. So I think him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. So let's think about that. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. So there's no impossible with God. God doesn't know the word impossibility. And it's within us. So let's just hang on to that. Now, Andy and I have been married
46 years. You can commiserate with her afterwards, but that's it. And over that time, we've learnt many things. And one of the things we have learnt is that we don't see life quite the same way as each other. Now, I can guarantee if we go somewhere, same place, same time, same everything, when we talk about it, we won't remember it the same. It will be different. And I say, really? Did that really happen? Are you sure this? And we have, I mean, I will be honest, I've got the point of thinking that she's got it wrong. She doesn't know what she's talking about. And she's definitely got that point to me, telling me that you've got it wrong. But we've realised that it's not that neither of us are wrong. It's about your perspective. When you go home today from this service, each of you will remember different things. Each will remember something. And it'll be right because that's how you saw it. Now, there's a brilliant example here in the Bible, isn't there? Because there are four Gospels. Why are there four Gospels? It's not to correct each other. It's actually to show that there are different views, that we all see life differently. So as we go through things, we see life differently. And so we have a choice to make, the way we see it. And each of our experiences are valid. But we have a choice to accept joy and get our heart towards joy or not. We can be negative, we can be positive. But we have a choice. I'm not saying it's an easy choice. In fact, the pastor at my daughter's church, when we were there, when I listened to him recently, he said, joy is the hardest word they've ever chosen as a church. Because there have been times when he hasn't felt joyful, and it's been really hard work to actually think about it. And he said, what I've had to do, and what I'm encouraging you to do as a church, is incline your heart towards joy. So think about that. It's an actual action. It's not something outside. It's not about our situations. It's not about what's happening in the world. It's not about what's happening around. It's about us inside here. That's the important thing. And it's that rejoicing that we need. So we have that choice. So if one of those people whose cup is half empty, let me ask you a question. If your cup's half empty, how does that benefit you? How does it make you feel? Is it what God really wants for you? More importantly, how does it affect other people? Now, I'm not suggesting that God wants us to be ignorant or naive. I know that things are not easy. I'm not suggesting. I know some of you guys out there are going through really tough times. I'm not pretending that. But the bottom line is, we are redeemed, and Jesus is with us in every situation. So he's not asking us to be negative, not asking us to judge people, he's not asking us to complain about things, he's asking us to incline our heart towards joy, to incline our heart and to trust him, to believe that he knows what he's doing. And once we start to look at things from that perspective, I think things look very, very different. I mean, just think how much richer your life would be if you saw things through the eyes of God, the eyes of joy. Now, it may be a real struggle for you at the moment, I've just said, but there's one thing about that we've got that nobody else has got, the Holy Spirit. So let's not imagine we can do this in our own strength, because we can't. Let's not imagine that we're strong enough to do it, because we're not. We need to be humble enough to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to do that. So when it gets tough, and if it hasn't got tough, it will get tough, and it will get tough, and it will get, and that's life, then the Holy Spirit is there for us. It doesn't mean to say joy has to go out the window. It doesn't. Because we got to remember that joy with God isn't dependent upon the human understanding. It's about always being there. And the fact of how we respond to God and how we respond to the way that we look at things. Now, a few weeks back, we were very privileged, and I mean privileged, to have 8 women, including my lovely wife, in a house for 4 days. I can see the horror on some of the men's face. 8 women for 4 days? Now, I don't understand this. But my very kind next door neighbour I know very well, who's 80 years old now, unbelievably, he said to his wife about this, and she said, no, I bet Vince is in his element, I bet he's loving it. Now, I don't know what that says about me, but there you are. I was loving it, but I don't know quite how I've given that impression. Now, you might be thinking, what on earth was going on? Why were there 8 women in his household? Well, those of you that know us will know that our daughter is a triathlete, and she does a lot of triathlons. And she's, over the time, managed to encourage other people to do triathlons as well. So this thing called the London Triathlon, which comes up, not surprisingly, every year, we seem to have more and more people turn up at our house is now become known as the Triathlon Hotel for that weekend, and they turn up and they sleep on the floor, they sleep everywhere they possibly can, and they eat lots of food. But it's fabulous. Fabulous. But this year was a bit different, because one of the people who came was a lady who's been a Christian probably 2 years, and 18 months ago, her son committed suicide. But it wasn't just anywhere, he committed suicide in her lounge. And she came down in the morning to find her there. Now that was devastating, and that wasn't a joyful experience at all. But what she has done, she has turned it around. It took a long time to get there, and it has taken a lot of time. I mean, I didn't realise when I started to actually read about this, that the biggest killer in this country is not cancer, is not heart attacks, it's actually suicide. More people die of suicide in this country than anything else, which shocked me. So you just think how many people that we're talking about. And this year, the London Triathlon coincided with her birthday. And was it his birthday as well? His birthday, sorry. Coincided with his birthday. So she decided, rather than actually bemoaning it and getting upset about it, she would take it by the scruff of the neck, and she would become part of this triathlon team, and she would take part. So what they did, they produced, unbeknown to her, T-shirts and vests, which had her son and her on the back of it, and then they had words on the front. And the words on the front were about a charity called the Baton of Hope. Now, I didn't put the picture up because I haven't got permission from the girls to do that. But the Baton of Hope, which I didn't know about, apparently is a charity that is there for people who are either contemplating suicide or have gone through a loved one committing suicide. A partner, a son, daughter, whatever, or somebody in the family, or grandparents, parents, whatever. So they are there to actually support those people. So they did that in that, and so it was a very positive thing that she did, which I thought was a fantastic thing for a young Christian to say, I can turn this to joy. And they had a wonderful time. The joy they actually had in that day, for her, actually completing it was the joy. Actually completing that, the running bit that she did was the joy. But it was wonderful to actually see them. So that was a fabulous example that something negative can be made positive and joyful. Now, many of you have probably viewed, if you're on social media, Gary's posts. And there's, yeah, and the one thing that I always come away when I read hear Gary's post is the joy. This man never complains. He's always grateful and thankful. And having been privileged to be part of his team, the community team, I can say to you that Gary is brilliant to work with. He has a gift of bringing hope and joy to his team. So he was fabulous. He's fabulous to work with, and I'm looking forward to working with him again. And I think that is why he's so highly regarded in the Billericay. Not because he goes around saying I'm a Christian. Not because he goes around, but because he goes around and actually really caring, and he shows joy. And he shows what God wants us to be like. God didn't make us to be miserable. That wasn't what he wanted Christians to be. I know that many people think that Christians are too serious. It reminded me of one of my early girlfriends, when her mother always accused me of being too serious. But isn't it wonderful that we can actually show joy? That we can actually, because we've got the best gift ever. We've got Jesus Christ, so we've got nothing to be sad about. I know when things go wrong in our life, and at those times it's right to feel emotion, and you've got to do that. But if we went round, rather than looking sad, or are you, I've got a church, we actually, I've got a church. Think how we turn the world upside down. At the moment, it's fantastic that everywhere across this country, as far as I can work out, people are just walking into churches, our own church included, and particularly among young people. I don't know what, and God's obviously doing that, but joy is always going to be something that people will be attracted to. People don't get attracted to moaning, they get attracted to people that show joy. And that's why I think this message was so important, and that's why, I'm not saying it's easy, that's why we need to incline our heart towards it. What I'm asking is that we're not like Ermentrude, and I believe that, I forgot that message, I forgot that word, sorry. So I'll let you read that bit. I think that was that the last bit? And that's a bit. Sorry, I forgot that. Right, so let's go on to Ermentrude for a minute. Oh, this, by the way, is a picture of when we went to Parmanova recently. There's a better one than the sunset, but this one allowed to fit it all in. So may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope and joy by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit that's going to do this. You can't do it in your own strength. Now, there's the poor old Ermentrude. Because the problem with Ermentrude was, when it got to it, he didn't realise it was an X-ray machine. And in order to get the king's table, you have to go through the X-ray machine. He might look beautiful on the outside, But guess what he looked like on the inside? He didn't. Now, obviously, the worm wasn't quite like that, you know, with sunglasses and all that. But he didn't look very nice. Now, I'm not suggesting we're not very nice on the inside. But what I am saying is God sees all of us. We, now, as we stand here, we just see the outside of each other. If we live with somebody, we see quite a lot of the inside of each other as well. But God sees right in. So I think our challenge is to make sure that, going back to the previous one, that this is true. That this is true for us. We need to humble ourselves afresh at the foot of the cross and realise afresh what Jesus has done for us. For that reason, we can be filled with joy. We know that we are saved, that our sins are forgiven, and we have an eternal home that's prepared for us in heaven. So we have everything going for us. And therefore, we need to allow the Holy Spirit in our hearts and meditate on the blessing our Father in heaven has given us here on earth, and incline our hearts towards joy on a daily basis, maybe an hourly basis, so that we can share joy with people on a daily basis. And that's God's message today.